Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
So I got a question for you. Have you ever spent time with a couple that's about to get married? Like they're engaged? How many engaged people do we have out there? You're engaged right now. You're engaged right now. We love you. We love you. But truth be told, if we're all honest, you probably are kind of annoying us. If I'm being honest, because you know what it's like when you get around a couple that is about to get married. I mean, they're just full of so much hope. They use words like best all the time. How's your life? It's the best. What's your wedding going to be like? It's going to be the best. What's your wedding dress look like? It's going to be the best. Where are you going on your honeymoon? It's this going to be the best. You're like, do you have any other words besides best? You know what I mean? Like, they're just so full of hope and so full of, but they're also a little, what I would call, disconnected from reality. And all the married people said, amen. Because you've been married for a little while, you start to realize that best doesn't always mean best. And pain comes along with the journey. And what I found is they're full of so much hope. They're a little void of reality, but their marriage has so much potential out in front of it. What you'll find most of the time is that what they're missing in their relationship is this thing called pain. Like, for all you married people in here, you know this to be true. The strength of your marriage isn't the joyous times. It's how you navigate pain that leads to great purpose in your marriage. And what I found in my life is Mary was no different. You gotta get Mary's little journey here. She is engaged, and God is showing up in her world with purpose, and it's gonna equal quite a bit of pain. I want you to grab a hold of this today. And I know this is gonna be popular. It's not like you're gonna be like, amen, Pastor, I can't wait for this. This is, preach it, Pastor. This inspires my soul. But here it is anyway. God's purposes come packaged in pain. I know that's like a motivational quote. Like, yeah, man, sign me up for the pain train. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just so pumped about it. But you know this to be true in your own life. Like, if you're honest with yourself, anything you've ever achieved in life came with pain. You were on a championship team, it came with pain. You got good grades in school, it came with pain. You built a great business, it came with pain. You had a great marriage, it came with pain. Because why? Real purpose comes packaged in pain. And Mary's going to experience this. Now, I'll give you a little background on Mary. Mary, a lot of people, we kind of deified Mary. Mary was just simply the mother of Jesus. But there was some really special things about Mary, and a lot of people tried to quantify those special things. Like, what made Mary so special that God chose her? And many people think Mary was just this obscure person that, you know, didn't know anything, and God picked her because she was lowly. But it's actually not the truth, because she was actually a part of a family that was deeply embedded in the religious tradition and the religious leadership in Jerusalem. Her cousin Elizabeth, who had become the mother of John the Baptist, is married to one of the high priests. So Mary is intimately acquainted with the inner workings of the temple. She's indoctrinated in all of the religious traditions, but there's something probably different about this family compared to some of the other ones. They're much like many people that would attend our church. They come in each week. They love the Lord. They love the worship. They love the teaching. But if they're honest, there's something on the inside that's calling deeper, and they can't quite put their hand on it. There's a sense like God's not using me to my full potential. There's a sense that, man, I know there's more to this. I think Elizabeth and Mary used to get together and pray. They were still faithful to all the religious traditions. They still went through all the process, but they would get together and they would begin to pray. God, we know there's something more. God, we want your purposes in our lives. These are powerful prayers, but what I found is that God's purposes are usually packaged in pain. So when we pray these purposes, for these purposes to happen in our life, many times we don't know what we're asking for. Because God's going to deliver it in a package that we weren't looking for. I think if we're honest, this word pain, I think if we're honest, we hate pain. Come on. Anybody hate pain? I think we're almost programmed in like the weakness of our flesh to like stay away from pain. Like, we don't like it. We don't want to embrace it. But the reality is that we all know it's a massive factor to our life. Like, just the way, even just the common sense of, like, how God built your body to grow. You get growing pains. That restriction. Did you know restriction was in the garden? Before sin, God said, don't do. So restriction, pain, saying no to things, saying yes to the right things. These are things that God even built in humanity before the fall. So it's always going to be there. There's always going to be a level of tension of saying, what? I'm going to stretch, I'm going to grow, and I'm going to strengthen. You know why most of us, I think, don't really find true purpose? It's because most of us pray for happiness, not purpose. Like if we're honest, right? Like happiness, like. I want great additives to my life. I don't want to rearrange my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to bake a different cake. I just want some icing. I want some sprinkles. Can I get a cherry on top? Like, I just want some happiness. But we all know that, like, happiness is fickle. I want to give you a definition of happiness. Check this out. The absence of problems, struggle, or pain. I think if we were to define happiness, that's how most of us, whether that's the Webster Dictionary or not, that's how we would kind of naturally act, right? If I'm searching for happiness, like, my immediate thing in my head would be like, this problem's solved. This struggle is removed. This pain is no longer there. But the problem with happiness is happiness has to do with what's happening. Well, what's happening has nothing to do with what's going on in here. It has everything to do with what's going on out here. Let me put it to you like this. The weather on the outside around you is determining the storm on the inside of you. So your life is a series of hit and misses, right? If things are going well, if I got no problems, Hakuna Matata. If I got no problems, like, I got no worries, everything's good, I'm happening. But the problem is that you're not in control of your own spirit. So when the weather changes, the storm on the inside changes. But purpose goes way deeper than that. I want you to see the vantage point on how to look at purpose. Purpose is this: the presence of problems, struggles, and pain that shape us. So there's a very different mindset for people that find real purpose. They look at life's restrictions, problems, and pains rather than a deficit as a growth opportunity. Doesn't this sound like the book of James? Count it all joy, brethren, when you in various trials and temptations, because these things are testing you, producing in you a level of faith and maturity on the inside of you. See, God is always going to work on this thing that I call the purpose gap. And here's what the purpose gap is. The purpose gap is the gap between where you are and where God wants you to be. And here's the purpose gap. The change, or I would say pain, because no change ever happens without a little pain. Come on. Required to grow into your purpose. So my son right now, he's 4, and the other day, he's for the first time, is starting to have growing pains. And he comes to me, and he goes, Daddy, my legs hurt. And so I'm like asking a series of questions, like, did you jump off the couch? Did you fall? Did you, insert thing here? And he goes, no, Daddy, it hurts on the bone. And all of a sudden, I got it. I'm like, this is a structural change. This is deeper than just, I got a bruise. This is your body is stretching and growing. And I said, son, do you want me to rub your legs? He goes, yeah, Daddy, rub my legs. And so rub his legs. And he goes, oh, that feels a little bit better. What does he experience? He's experiencing growing pains. Now imagine if, as a dad, I looked at him and said, son, we need to, like, we're going to take a pill and it's just going to stop you from growing. You won't have these pains anymore. Isn't this how we pray? God, just give me the magic happy pill. But the problem is that you're going to be short and not grow into your full potential, not to become everything that God had destined for you. You know what I found in my life is that purpose is the same way, that pain comes natural. If I'll push through the pain, I'll begin to grow into all that God has for me. How do you do this? You got to get a vision bigger than your pain. You got to have something that's pulling you into the future. You have something that's pulling you into the past, or pulling you beyond your past. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Vision gives pain a purpose. You know how you make it through pain in life? It's because you know this too shall pass. And rather than complaining about it, I'm going to grow through it. I'm going to get better through it. You know what I found is that when I master certain things in my life, almost very rarely do I have to master it again. Because God gives you victory over it, then it's under your feet, and you grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Vision gives pain your purpose. See, I think Mary, the angel shows up to him and gives Mary a vision. He doesn't give her all of it. How many of you know if he would have gave Mary all of it, she wouldn't have been able to endure the pain? But he put a vision out in front of her. He said, what? Your child's going to be the Son of God. He's going to save his people from his sins. He's going to have a kingdom that will never end. What is that? That's vision, 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 vision. What Mary didn't know is she was going to have pain, 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 pain. The only thing she knows is it's going to be a virgin birth. And that was going to be pain enough. Okay? Imagine being Joseph. Okay? You found this cute little girl. She's done it all right. She loves God. She, you know, whatever. And then one day, you know, she shows up and she's like, hey, two lines on the pregnancy test. Hey, Joe, pregnant, but don't worry, it's God's. Now, I don't care how much of a godly man you are. I don't care if you pray 8 hours a day. Your fiance comes up and tells you she's pregnant by God, you get your Glock. Not for her, for the other guy, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Like, you're ready to fight. Come on, let's be real, man. Get in here, like, you're ready to fight. You're ready to throw down. Like, what is going on? What in the world would you do? Who is he? Where is he? Pah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm thinking, you know what I mean? So she was going to have to endure the relational friction of following God. How about this? That after Jesus was born, this crazy guy named Herod was going to try to kill every baby to get rid of Jesus. And she would have to run to become a refugee in a land that God had pulled them out of called Egypt. How about this? She would have to endure watching her son die on a cross. See, if God had gave her all the details, she would have never been able to endure the pain. But God gave her a vision, and that vision kept on giving her pain purpose. I want you to see how it started in her life. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. This is how the journey starts. If you want to embrace God's purposes in your life, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done unto me according to your word. If you want to walk in all the purposes God has for your life, it starts with this inner declaration. It can't be faked. It can't be a facade. It actually has to be a genuine conviction in your life that says this: let it be done to me. Let it be done to me. Say, whatever God you want. Doesn't this sound like other parts of the Bible? Like, God, I pray that your will be done, not my will be done. That your kingdom come, not my kingdom. That you would thrive, that you would be the Lord of my life. And when you start praying those prayers, that God, I want your purpose and I'm willing to endure some pain, let it be done to me. I'm telling you what, God will begin to use you. I want you to grab a hold of just a few things about God's purposes. Number one, God's purposes come to the available. We have a tendency to think that God's purposes come to the perfect. Or to the holier than thou, or to the educated, or to the resourced. What I found in my life is that God's purposes come to the available. You know why I think God chose Mary? I think there's a lot of reasons people, maybe it was because she was so poor. You know what I think? I think God looked down on planet Earth in the geographical location he was going to have his son born through prophecy and looked down and said, who's praying for purpose? I hear two ladies, and they're related, Elizabeth and Mary. And then he showed up to her and asked the question, are you available? And she said, yes. Here's the reality. Mary carried God's purposes because she said yes. I wonder how many of God's great purposes in people's lives have been lost because we led with a no rather than a yes. So here's a question that I had, why don't we say yes? And I think it's found in the scripture right here, because Mary wrestled with it too, if you want to be in good company. She says, how will this be? When God shows up in your world and he begins to speak purpose in your life, it's going to be bigger than you, which means there will be a deficit. You will be faced with the reality, I am not prepared, I am not equipped, I do not have the resources that I need. That's how you know it's God. And you're going to have this question, how can this be? Come on, if we're honest with you, we've all done this before. God shows up and we say we're not prepared. Think about Mary. She's about 17 or 18 years old. She's not even married yet. You're like, God, really? Out of all the people, this was the most educated choice? She's never raised a child. She's never had a child. She's not even married yet. There's a whole lot that could go wrong here. Imagine all the excuses Mary could have had. Like, God, you know what? I totally get the big vision, son of God, big kingdom, awesome, saving people, awesome. But I'm not ready. I'm not qualified for this. So here's the deal. But I don't want to give up on it. Because I like the idea of doing something great with you rather than doing something great for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to come back 5 years from now. And I'm going to read some books. I'm going to have a couple kids. I'm going to parent some people. Because if we're going to test drive parenting, let it not be on the Son of God. Like, let me take some reps on somebody, on my own kids, somebody else. I just don't want to screw your kid up. And so don't we do this with God? God shows up and we got a list of reasons. I got to go to school first. I got to do this first. I got to read these books. I got to grow here. I barely know how to pray. I don't. But here's the good news, friends. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The calling is what puts you in a process for you to grow up into all that God has destined you for. I remember when I first started to learn this. Many of you know my story from like 16 to, you know, or 15 to 18. I was pretty well a hot mess. I was on drugs and a lot of trouble and a lot of problems, and then got radically saved by God. And shortly after that, like, I started attending a church, and it was a big church, and it wasn't a kind of a church kind of like ours. Like, you come around here and you haven't asked to be on a team or a part of a group. That's usually a miracle or something. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get, you know, because we're an involvement church. This church was a little easier to hide out in, but I wanted to be involved and I didn't know where to start. I remember I was going to church and I saw a building that said prayer center. I said, well, I know how to do that. So I just went over there. I realized it was open 24 hours a day. So I said, I don't know what to do. But I know how to pray. So I started showing up in the morning. Every morning I'd go pray. I'd pray for an hour. And then I walk out and I see people across in a building across the way, always waiting in line. And a couple mornings I got a little curious. I said, I'm gonna go check whatever the people are doing. They're here every day. So I walked over and I walked in and there's a big line of about 30 people waiting. And I realized it's a food pantry. And there was one lady about 60 years old that was working this food pantry by herself. And she looked like Albert Einstein when I walked up. Like, her hair is frazzled. She's, you know what I mean? And I was like trying to get her attention. I said, ma'am. She goes, that's a minute, sir. You just tell she's, you know, she's just frazzled, you know, because she's tearing all this by herself. I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she goes, well, who are you? Because I think she assumed that I was there to pick up food. And I said, no, I attend the church here. She goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, would you like some help? She goes, oh, thank God, yes. So she started telling me what to do. So I started moving boxes and helping people. And we worked for like the next hour and a half and we left. And at the end, she goes, oh my God, you know, God sent you. I needed you. And I'm like, I'm not sure if God sent me. I just looked across the street and said, you know, who are all these people? Let me go check it out. I mean, it might've been God, but I think I was just available. And so she goes, thank you so much. And I said, well, how often do you do this? She goes, you know, Monday through Friday. You could almost tell she was asking without asking, you know? And I said, well, how about if I help you? She goes, no, really? And I said, yes, I will be. I'm here every morning to pray. I'll help you. I'll stay after and I'll help you do this. She goes, oh my God, you're so awesome. So I started serving. I was just, you know, it's not like I was in the prayer closet, you know, walking around going, God, I'm the next Billy Graham. Lord, I feel like you're going to use me. Put a microphone in my hand and watch what happens. We're going to conquer the world and we're going to do this. And Mother Teresa hasn't seen nothing on me. You know, I wasn't praying these kinds of things. I was like, God, could you use me? I know I messed up really bad in the past and I let the devil use me. So I'd rather not let him use me anymore. Could you use me? I was praying simple, available prayers. And I started to realize like, oh, I made myself available. Well, then a pastor kind of took note of me and kind of saw me and goes, hey, what's your story? I always see you over here helping. It's really awesome. He goes, normally hard to get young people to do that. And I said, well, it's a pleasure. And he says, well, let's go to lunch. So I told him my lunch. He goes, wow, that's quite a story. And he goes, well, we have this program called Celebrate Recovery. We got about 50 teenagers that are trying to get off drugs. What do you think about helping out with them? And I looked at him. I said, sure. No idea what I was saying yes to. I said, sure, yeah, I can do that. And so I show up, and boy, did I miss those food boxes. The food boxes never relapsed. The food box has never said bad things about me. The food box has never lied to me. These people did, these kids did. And then God started to speak to me, yes, this is your purpose. And purpose comes packaged in pain. So stay the course. And then piece by piece, little by little, I kept saying yes. One day they come up, hey, we think we should make you a pastor. I was like, yeah. It's like I had a plan. It's not like I was in my prayer closet. God, I want to conquer the nations. I just kept saying yes. Here's the reality. The size of your calling will be determined by your yes. You know why I think Billy Graham was who he was? I think it's because he kept saying yes. You know why I think most people that do great things for God is because when everybody else hit their lid or their threshold of pain, they kept on saying yes. By the way, did you know that God, Jesus confirmed this? Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. This verse used to irritate me because I never felt significant. With my past and as much as I had messed up, I'm like, I just felt lucky God would use me at all. I'll be honest with you. And then I started to look at other people that God used, really, and I was like, oh, they must be chosen. They're like, God has like, there's like special people. You know what I mean? And I'm like, probably like, oh yeah, it's probably because I'm on the naughty list for like half of my life. You know what I mean? So like, you know, like, don't we think like that? And all of a sudden I started, and then one day God spoke to me and he goes, Jesse, do you believe every person has a free will? And I said, yes. Do you believe I violate that? I said, no. And he goes, so when I call, who does the choosing? And all of a sudden this resonated with me so much. The called are chosen because they choose. God calls, they say yes, they grow. God calls again, they say yes, they grow. And then all of a sudden they move from being on the outskirts of what God was doing to being in the center of what God is doing. God doesn't have favorites. He does ask for people to be available. So here's the thing, just keep saying yes. God's purposes come to the available. Number two, God's purpose come to the changeable. Mary had to endure a whole lot of change. A whole lot of change that she didn't sign up for probably on that initial thing. And I got to thinking about it. When this angel shows up and he's sharing the vision, I got to thinking, I asked myself this question. Was this God's vision or Mary's vision? And that question just kept on, like every time I'd read over it, I'm like, well, I know theologically the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. So before God created, God knew he was going to send Jesus. So this has been God's vision all along. But then I got to thinking about Mary, and I'm like, but Mary, I got a feeling, was the one praying for God to use her and was praying for God's purposes in her life. So here's the question that I get, and this should give you some hope today. The answer is both. I see too many people, they're afraid to surrender, make themselves available, and let God change them, because they think the change equals that God's going to move them to Tanzikistan, to live in a hut, and to be a missionary. Now, God may do that, but here's the difference. It'll be a part of your passion. It'll be a part of your prayer. You'll be praying for it before it comes. So God's never, are you following with me what I'm saying? God doesn't partner with bitter people that are being taken advantage of. And he won't take advantage of you. He's going to partner with passionate people who want purpose. So what I find in this story is that I think Mary and God kind of had a similar vision, a similar where they were going, a similar outcome. Here's what I found. The difference between God's plan and your plan and Mary's plan is the pathway. Come on, you know this to be true. God, she knew, like, okay, I'm into, like, the Son of God, I'll do all that. She didn't know the pathway God was going to take her on. And it's the same thing with you. God is the master navigator. He drops the pin on where you're going. And then, like, you ever been on the interstate and you're driving? And all of a sudden you miss your exit when you're in a city you don't know? And then all of a sudden it says, you were 2 minutes from the gas station you were going to stop at. Then all of a sudden, redirecting, 15 minutes. You know, like, what? It's because the next exit is like an hour up the road and you're so mad. You know what I mean? You're looking at your wife going, why didn't you tell me the exit was coming? You know what I mean? Come on, that's what I do. You're so frustrated. I found following God's purposes in my life is a lot like that. God sets the pin, but the journey is totally up to negotiation. And always he's redirecting, because he wants you to learn the right lessons along the process. The Bible confirms this. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "For many are the plans in a person's heart." So we're going to have a lot of plans, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail, which means we can have a plan, but the process is going to look very different. Because why? God's purposes grow through a plan called process. We are in love with the destination. God's in love with the journey. He's in love with the details, the change, the partnership with you. Process is a massive deal in your life. You can't skip the process. I remember when I was a young pastor, I was about 23, and I got an opportunity to spend some time with somebody who was a hero to me at the time, and still is a hero to me at the time. It was Pastor Brian Houston of Hillsong Church, and you know, it's just this massive church in Australia, and I got the opportunity to fly over and spend a little bit of time, and I was in a staff gathering with them. Now, their staff gathering is like 1,000 people, okay? So it's like this packed, you know, and this is just everybody on the staff, you know, from different places. And I was watching because there was like all these people that are like unbelievably talented, you know, like Grammy winners and Dove winners, and they're sitting on the front row and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then I was watching who was leading worship, and there were people I didn't know. And they were like people that serve at kids worship and stuff like that. And it was still just so good, so excellent. I remember sitting there, I was like, man, if I get time with Pastor Brian, I'm going to have some questions. Like, I'm gonna come prepared. And one of my questions was, is how on earth do you keep all these talented people? Like, how do you keep all the talented people? And I finally got some time with him. I was like, Pastor Brian, man, you got so many talented people. Like, it's just unbelievable. And normally talented people try to find their own thing. And they lose the we because all the attention gets on them. They just kind of, you know, whatever. And it was just the humility, the partnership, the bigness of the team, the unity. And he asked me, and he goes, oh, easy. I'm like, really? I'm all ears. Let me know. Because if it's easy, I'm going to do this thing. That's what I'm going to do. And he says, I don't let people skip the process. And I go, enlighten me. What does that mean? He goes, when we have somebody show up at our church that's super talented, you know what we say? We got a dirty parking lot. Can I put a broom in your hand? Can you go sweep before you sing? Because if they will skip that part of the process, which is servant leadership, if they'll skip the part of the process that says it's about me rather than you and we, if they don't know how to get low and serve, when you promote them, they'll make it about them. And he says, you know, prima donnas don't make a great team. Servants do. He says, so we don't let people skip the process. And he goes, you know why those people are where they were? Because before they were that, they were serving in a kids ministry. They were sweeping brooms. They were doing this and that because it was never about them and their gifting and their calling and their whatever. They realized that the process was going to change their heart. Serving changes your heart. Getting low changes your heart. Because why? Here's the reality. If you skip the process, you'll sabotage your purpose. This is the reality. He said, don't let them skip the process. I said, I can do that. So we have a culture at our church. Like, I don't care who you are. If you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. Because change happens when we get low. Think about the process Mary had to go through. The birth of Jesus. The maturing of Jesus. You got to think about that. She had to raise Jesus for 20 plus years and not see any fruit. He wasn't healing people. He wasn't doing miracles. He was running away at 12. Or not really running away. He got lost for a day. You know, she's not seeing like everything, whatever. By the way, that should encourage you. Just because you don't see immediate fruit doesn't mean you're not working in your purpose. Hear God's voice. His word will be faithful to you. But then one day she kind of walks in and she realizes she's at a wedding. She's like, the party's stopping. There ain't no more wine. She walks over to Jesus. Hey, party's slowing down. Jesus said, don't worry, I got this. Ain't no party like a Jesus party because a Jesus party don't stop. He said, bring me some wine or bring me some water. I'll make you some wine. And the party goes on. And then from there, 3.5 years of watching miracles. You got to think the breakthrough that must have happened in Mary's life. She's watching the dead be raised, feeding the 5,000, miracles, the blind seeing, 10,000 people showing up to follow her son out in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? She's on cloud 9, but then she also had to endure. One day, Jesus starts saying, I'm going to die. You're going to hang me on a cross, but I'll rise again. She had to endure all that process. You know why Mary was able to endure it? Here's why. Mary was able to embrace the end because she embraced the process from the beginning. Your victory today that God's trying to change in your life is going to give you confidence and boldness when the victories become bigger, more consequential. Listen, your victories today, you embracing the process today gives you faith for the future. I've overcame it before and God was faithful then. I'm gonna keep on overcoming. Why? Because God's purposes, they come to the available, they come to the changeable, and then finally, God's purposes are fulfilled through the faithful. Through the faithful. You know, faithful. When's the last time you heard somebody celebrate faithfulness in our culture? Why? Because faithfulness always pain. You gotta have grit to be faithful. You gotta stick with something even when it hurts to be faithful. And we're so pain averse, we wonder why we have no purpose on the inside. It's because we sabotage it by not being faithful. Here's the thing about faithfulness. Here's the good news. The faithful see God's faithfulness. The faithful see God's faithfulness. It's unbelievable to me. Every time. You know how Mary, at the end of her life, was able to walk her son to the cross and endure that pain? Be it done unto me according to your word. She said, yes, God was faithful. And he comes out, they're trying to kill the baby. Angel shows up, tuck over in Egypt. I'll look after you. We'll take care of you. God was faithful. She raises him. God's faithful. Miracles, destiny, blessing, faithful. Now my son's going to die on a cross, but he said he would rise again. Faithful. Why? Because the faithful see God's faithfulness. Every time I see somebody who gives consistently, almost always they see God's faithfulness raising their financial level. It's unbelievable how that works. People that are faithfully investing in their marriage, faithfully see God faithfully show up in their marriage. God isn't, he very rarely works independent of people. So your faithfulness and you seeing his faithfulness in your life go hand in hand. Here's the great news. You're building a track record that's building faith on the inside of you. And here's the track record. If God has been faithful in the past, he's going to keep on being faithful in the future. How did Mary overcome? How did she grow into everything? She just kept on being faithful. She kept on seeing God's faithfulness. She kept on what? Embracing the pain, growing over the struggle. She learned how to keep herself faithful. See, we make ourselves available. We make ourselves changeable. We make ourselves faithful.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.